Reminds me, Brother Bill was telling me about a lady that come down. I believe it was his wife's mother. Isn't that right, Bill? Had some kind of trouble with the blood or something. What was that? I forget now. Had high blood pressure. Come down, said God told her that if she come down here, he'd heal it. So she come down here. And that night, she was the only one I believe I had up on the platform here praying for. And I prayed for her that night, and she went back to the doctor. I might have this wrong, but I believe the doctor told her she was perfect. Is that what he said to her? He said, lady, you're perfect. So she went home whole. God did what she come to get. Bill said God worked a miracle on his baby the other night, too. He was really excited over it. And little brother David, my David, said he really felt faith the other night. And because I really prayed for Bucky's baby, too. I prayed all during the night for Bucky's baby. Bucky's baby had a serious attack. I don't know what it was. But Dave talked like that the baby looked like it was near death there for a while. Also, I've been praying for some other children, different ones. Jimmy's brother Bill, I think the kid swallowed something, got down his throat, plastic, and the baby was so near death that Bill began to weep and got all tore up. And, of course, Jimmy was right there to say, the Lord's on your trail, Bill. God took care of the baby, you know, and the baby was all right, but it really shook Bill up. I believe God's going to bring Bill in. How many of you really believe God's going to bring Bill in? You know what we need is faith in God. We could add to the congregation. We had a little faith in God. Somebody said, well, I would ask that person to come to church, but I don't feel like they would if I ask them. You unbeliever? That's right. You're an unbeliever. You know why people keep on sinning and doing the things that they do? They don't do that to the law out here. You know why they don't disobey the laws of the land? Because they are a believer. You know what made them a believer? Because they put them behind the bars a few times, turned the key. That made a believer out of them. But God tells you not to do them things, and he can damn your soul to hell and cut you off from life, and you keep on doing it. Why? Because you're an unbeliever. You don't believe he means business, but if he ever gets you behind the bars a few times, he make a believer out of you. Let him pick you up out of a wreck a few times. Let him bury your little baby. Let something happen. He make a believer out of you. Let a spirit of insanity fall on you and work on you for about 3 months. Make a believer out of you. Let your nerves start going all to pieces. Cancer start working on you. Heart trouble start working on you. Arthritis start binding you up. Let your husband start slapping you around a little bit. That's right. Running around with another woman. I saw a head go just like that, you know. Sound like a voice of experience. That's right. I tell you, God will make a believer out of you, folks. He made one out of me. Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be here. I thank the Lord for you people that are believers. I praise God for you. See, you go to a church and nobody new ever comes and nobody gets healed and nobody gets saved and they don't never do nothing for God. They don't never even as much as nail a nail in the building or sweep the yards. You know why? Because they ain't looking for nothing, they ain't got nothing, and they ain't expecting nothing. That's unbelief. And the Bible said, beware lest an evil heart of unbelief be found with you in the coming of the Lord. I'm excited. I'm expecting something. I'm looking for something. I'm doing something. See, like building that building down there. I'm building that building. Somebody said, why are you doing that, Brother Pike? Don't you know Jesus is coming? That's what preachers will tell you. They'll say, why are you working on that building? Don't you know the Lord's coming? I say, I sure do know he's coming. That's why I'm working on the building. That's why Noah worked on the ark, because he knew he was coming. See, I want to be found doing something for the Lord. I don't want to be found sitting at home. Out west, they used to say, die with your boots on. If you're going to die, let's do like the leopards. Let's get up and be doing something. If we're going to die, let's just don't die sitting down. Some people just sit down and they eat, and they just eat, and they finally just rot. Their bellies just rot out. Never doing nothing for God. Just sit there and eat, drink, and talk about something you know that's going to happen, and never do nothing about it. But the Bible teaches that your faith is shown by your works. If you believe in God, come to church. If it's cold, if it's rainy, it doesn't matter what it is, come to the house of God. If you believe in God, come out here to the house of God. Don't have a heartache and a bellyache and every kind of ache. Don't have that and stay away from the house of God. Come to the house of God. I don't care what kind of trouble you got. If you got heart trouble and cancer and TB, whatever you got, still come to the house of God. If you ain't got but 2 minutes to live, say, take me to the house of God if it's time to go. Come to the house of God. He might just heal you. Who knows? See, and if you want to believe in the Lord, you can. You know, I'm a firm believer that you can do something if you want to do something, and you can't do nothing if you don't want to do it. So let's go to the house of God. Tell somebody else about it. You don't go out there and say, you know, we go to church at Little Bethlehem. Where do you go to church? If you ever have a chance, you ought to come over to our church. He'll probably say, well, if you ever get a chance, come over to our church. And I like the way Mike did it. Mike went to Atlanta today, and of course, Mike's single, you know, and he said that he went in there to get something, said a young girl spied him, said she said, I'll wait on him. And said she come over there and said he opened up both barrels. He said, where do you go to church? What do you believe in? Do you believe in Trinity? I said, you're wrong. I said, that's paganistic. Said, by that time, he had everybody in the building just about listening to him. He done got him a congregation. He was preaching away to them. He shook them up. Like Brother Mitch. Brother Mitch said he went over to the university and some fellow over there come to him and told him, said, I'm the man that looks after things over here when it comes to religious things. You know, we set up something. You got something you want to set up? Mitch said, we got something we want to set up. So he got him interested, you know. That's the way to do it. In other words, tell the people something. If you're expecting something, you believe in something, then tell them about it. In other words, they are going to judge you. If you're excited over, they'll get excited over it. You know, a boy go out here to the movie somewhere, and he sees a movie, and he goes back, and he finds about three more, and he starts telling me, and say, boy, you ought to go to that movie. Man, you ought to see what I saw there. I'll tell you what, you ain't never seen nothing like that. And by the time he gets through, everyone that he can crowd in the car wants to go see that movie. And see, if you'd let people know that we're doing something out here, that we got something, somebody say, well, Brother Pike, I'll tell you about me. The only thing is, I don't see nothing out here. Just go to church. Ain't that something? The Lord Jesus Christ from heaven steps down from his throne with regularity and comes out here and said, if two or three of you come, I'll meet you over there. But there ain't nothing excited about this. Some excited about the football game, you know. Somebody said they got a pigskin full of air out there. That's exciting. Let's go to the football game. I got a football out there. But we got God over here, but ain't nothing exciting about that. See, how blind could a feller be? It's unbelief. That's what it is. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what I don't understand, way back yonder, they really had some shouting good times, and they really had God back there. You know why they did? Because they wasn't a bunch of lazy folks. Bible speaks of a lukewarm, Laodicea, lazy bunch of people. That's right. That's trying to figure out how to retire when they're 30 years old off of the welfare. That's right. According to what Brother Charlie was telling me today, he's seen some that's had some experience. Charlie was really upset over some of the things today. Was it today or yesterday? Can't remember now. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? A lazy bunch of people. Back there, the people worked in the fields all day long. And they went to church and stayed the rest of the night just about it. That's right. Work till sundown, take the horse out, go to church, and stay over there till midnight or after. And God gave, they was excited about something. God was there, and they didn't have near as much as you got. Somebody said, well, it's because they really had something back there. They didn't have near as much back there made known to them as you've got made known to you today. If they had had what you've got today in the way of the understanding of the Word of God, well, they'd have turned the entire world upside down. With the zeal that they had over what little they had received, while they'd have turned the world slap upside down. That's the truth. Look back through the Carolinas, read the history of it. Men that just learned a little bit about the Bible, got out on soap boxes and built old brush arbors and everything, and had thousands of people coming in buggies and everything else, parked all through the woods. and the revival fires was burning. Folks, we need to get a vision. We got something. We need to get a vision. All right, there's one thing about it. If you don't, I am. That's one thing about it. I praise God for one thing about this salvation. I don't have to wait on you. I thank God for that. Some might say, well, bless God, I just don't see nothing to get excited about. So they don't get excited. But I'm glad that God made this thing, Brother Cox, an individual thing that I don't have to worry. If you don't get excited, I can get excited. If you don't want to go, I will go. If you don't want to do something, I will do something. And I can do all things through Christ's strength. I'm so glad he made it that way so that you can't hold me down. That's right. No wonder he said the last generation would be miserable, wretched, and blind, half backslid, professing to have something and didn't have it. All right, thank God for them that do have it. There is some that do have it. And I thank God for them that do have it. I want to just talk with you just a little bit tonight and exhort you a little bit. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts in the 19th chapter where Paul is up at the upper coast of Ephesus. I love you tonight and I want to help you. But I tell you the truth, I'd leave my wife if she wasn't excited over the gospel. That's right. I don't mean I'd divorce her. But I mean, I'd leave her. I'd go and preach the gospel. I'd go on and do something for God. And I'd just write her a letter every once in a while saying, how are you getting along, you know? The 19th chapter of the book of Acts, in the first verse, and it came to pass. I like that, don't you? I heard a fellow over in Chicago one time, he took that for his text, and he preached against cancer, and he preached against heart trouble, and he preached against TB and everything else, and he said, I know you got it, but remember, it came to pass. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. That's the land of the Ephesians, you know. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated. The disciples disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabonds, Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia 2 of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. All right, now, I want to talk with you for just a little bit here, and I'll try not to hold you long because I know that when the heat is cut off in here, it begins to get kind of cool. But I like the terms that's used here in the Scriptures. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. I like that, don't you? So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Now, in that, we can see one thing. It didn't just, you know, skip along and just kind of, you know, joggle about, and every once in a while something happened. It didn't do that. God has never worked like that. Now, so mightily grew the Word of God. So mightily grew the Word of God. Now, I believe that if we've got the Word of God, if we've really got the Word of God, not a make-believe, but if God has given a message from heaven, and I know that this is a message from heaven, I know that it's a message from heaven, not only because God has made me to know it in my heart, but He showed me in a vision where it came down from heaven and came to me. I know that it's a message of God. And wherever there is a message of God, then the Bible said that mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. It doesn't just mightily grow, but it prevails against anything that might come against it. That's right. That's why that we continue to prevail. Out of all of the many years that we've been into the islands across the nation and stood in the face of many brethren that would have caused us to err and many people that would have misled us, yet in spite of all of that, mightily has grown the Word of God, and today it's still prevailing. I can still report the victory today. Hallelujah. In the Word of God. Now, if you get a heresy, you get some kind of indoctrination, you get some kind of idea, it's not going to prevail and it's not going to grow. But if you get the Word of God, it's going to grow. If I could get some of the brethren that are failing, that's not doing anything for God, if I could get them to listen and tell them why that they're not doing it, they would be all right. But they won't do it. They've got their own ideas about it, and they're going to go just like an old goat and butt their heads against the wall until they die of old age or die of some kind of disease and never do anything for God because they won't listen. Thank you. I can tell you're excited. So mightily grew the Word of God, and it prevailed. Now, here's Paul, somebody that loved the Word of God. Somebody that was excited over the Word of God. He loved it so much that he went about killing people. Now, he actually had people killed, had people cast into prison because he thought that was the right thing to do. He was excited. He said, I was so zealous, way above my equal. I was zealous for the tradition of the fathers. So much that I had them cast in prison. I let them kill them and all of these things. I gave my voice to the consent of the death over there when they killed one of the leading disciples. He said, when Stephen's was martyred, I gave my voice to it. I thought it was the right thing to do. And when God turned him around and gave him the real Word of God, he was so excited over it. He traveled into the islands. He was shipwrecked. He fought with beasts at Ephesus, went through all of the turmoils of life, and sometimes would have to winter in a place and do without. But he was excited. He was stoned. He was beat. You talking about having a little pain here and there and a little something that you have to run to the doctor about every few days. Paul really had problems. But Paul didn't let that stop him. A lot of people, you know, they get the idea because preachers preach, you know, and they go out here and do something for God. They say, well, I understand that there's a healthy, strong fella, and he knows what to do, you know. But they overlook the fact that men like Oral Roberts were spitting their lungs out their mouth, that they were dying with TB, and God raised them up and put them on the battlefield to do something. That's what made them men of God. Was the perseverance that they offered in standing for God and doing something by faith. Don't you know that if you don't offer any resistance to the devil, if you don't make any comeback from the things that you've fallen into, you're not a man of God. You're not a woman of God. It takes a testimony.
testimony to be a man of God. It takes a testimony to be a woman of God. You've got to have some faith. You've got to do something that the world might see that Jesus is inside of you. Gideon went down there with a whole string of men following him, a great army, and God just told him right then and there, Gideon, if you got a whole army down here, you're not fixing to do anything for God. If you've got a great army following you and a whole slew of folk, he said, you're not fixing to do anything for God, because if you get out there and do anything, that's as much as they expect out of you. But they expect just as much. You got a whole flock of men out here. He said, but if you'll get rid of some of these people that you got, do away with some of these men that you've got in your army, and narrow it down to just a few people, he said, then we'll have a victory of faith, and the people will glorify God, and they'll know that God's in the arrangements. That's why the struggle has been like it's been at Little Bethlehem. God's in the arrangements. He wants to get the glory for it. He's prepared the hearts of them that don't want to sacrifice to go the other way. Isn't that right? Moses got ready to go down and deliver the children of Israel. God didn't call the king, tell him to prepare his chariots, did he? Did he? He didn't put him on a white stallion and say, go down there now in this royal garment, this gold chain around your neck, and tell him you've come to deliver him. Why? There wouldn't have been no glory in that. But he gave him a stick over there and said, take us down there and tell Pharaoh I am who I am, and tell him children to come out of the land of Egypt. I could just imagine there that he stood and looked at something like a stick, you know, and he thought, God, you mean for me to go down there? Why, sure, that's the only way to get glory. God, take something down there and say, Moses, take this, and when you deliver them with this, then the world will take notice. Amen. A foolish and a base thing of the world to confound the wise. Get a little old ignorant fisherman. Take him down there. Go out there and get some great Bible scholar. Don't go out there and get some doctor. Get some lawyer. Don't go out there and get some outstanding banker. But get some little ignorant fisherman that don't know what he's doing. And put him out there and I'll teach him the gospel. And he'll go out there and work miracles and deliver the people. And then the people will take notice. That's the way it's supposed to be. See, you some bright, shining skull out of college, you go out there and do something, they say, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. After all, didn't you study to be a doctor? Didn't you study to be a doctor so that people would listen to you? But you take a little ignorant fisherman out there, and about 10,000 people leave their jobs and everything else, and they run out there to listen to an ignorant fisherman, and somebody said, this must be the mighty hand of God. That fella ain't got no sense. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? It's not too bad to be ignorant after all, is it? As long as you're loved by God. So I thank the Lord tonight. The Bible said mightily grew the word of God and it prevailed. God sent it to the common people, and somebody that would rise up like the prophet over there did, he said, well, I wasn't a prophet. He said, I wasn't even a prophet's son. He said, but the word of God came to me and said, go do some preaching. And he said, I went off and started preaching, and God began to take care of me. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a prophet's son. All you got to do is take the word of God and believe in the word of God. And the Bible said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Is that right? Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Be bold as a lion, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent, gentle as a lamb. God will take care of you. So then the word of God mightily grew. It grew until it filled all the earth. The Bible said that little stone that was hewed out of the mountain. It grew till it filled all of the earth. Today that stone is coming back. We're fixing to get a repercussion out of it. God is fixing to let that little stone that's been hewed out of the mountain begin to roll down through Babylon and tear down the kingdoms of this world. He's fixing to do something outstanding like the world has never seen before. That's why I am so excited. Amen. I'm so excited. It doesn't matter what's wrong with you physically. It doesn't matter what's wrong with you spiritually. It doesn't matter what's wrong with you financially. God can help you. God's got the answer. I don't care if you got an inferiority. God wants to do something for you. All you got to do is rise up and take the kingdom. That's all he said do. He said rise up and take the kingdom. That's all you got to do is rise up. But you got to make an effort. You got to do like the leopards did over there. You can't just sit down. If you sit down, you'll die. The devil is real, folks. The devil will kill you. If you sit down and take a back seat and keep saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, the more you say you can't, the devil will say, amen, I told you so. I told you. You say, I think I'm going to all the pieces. He said, that's right, you are. That's right. You just sit down and do that. You say, I can't get a job. I can't get a job. I think we're going to starve to death. The devil said, I told you, you're going to starve to death. And sure, just as sure you say here. But now if you get up and you say, now wait a minute. The Bible said I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can get a job. I can do something for God. I don't feel as good as I'd like to feel, but I can feel better by believing in God and by making an effort. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to study. I'm going to do something for the poor and for the needy and see if I can't get something done for God. Then the Bible said when you take the poor into your home, when you begin to feed the poor, you begin to clothe the naked, he said, then shall thy health return unto thee. Come on, some of you unhealthy folks out there. Not only here in the church, but wherever you hear these tapes. Some of you unhealthy, complaining folks. It's always got a grunt. Always got a complaint. Are you listening? I hope Sister Francis don't get mad at me. Boy, I tell you what. When Sister Francis come here, she had more complaints than anybody just about it I know. Every time she come to service, she had complaints. She was either going to die or there's going to something happen. But I tell you what, she got out here and she started doing something for God. And she got to where she was just like a little bee going all the time doing something everywhere. And she lost all of her grunts and pains, all of her discomforts. And she's been a great inspiration. And I made a statement the other day. She's just as busy as a bee, you know, going across the campground. And I told somebody, I said, my, I'd hate to see something happen to Sister Francis. I said, she's such an inspiration, Randy. Always going, doing something. Always. That's wonderful, isn't it? Now, that is a great proof that if you won't give in to your feelings, that God will do something for you. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you just don't understand. I guess I don't. I guess I don't. That's right. If anybody can hear the promises of God and know that God has told them all of the wonderful, most beautiful things that he has told them, and then they can't get up and make an effort, I guess I don't understand. Because I tell you, the way I feel, folks, I feel like that we can do something if we will. I feel like we can get up and make an effort for God and go out for God, and God will heal our bodies. You don't expect to get through life without any problems, do you? The Bible said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You don't expect to go through life without having some persecution, do you? You don't expect every morning when you get up for your wife to meet you and say, good morning, darling, how are you, do you? And the children get up and say, Daddy, can I run and get your shoes? If you do, you ought to live at my house a while. Hallelujah! Amen! Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? I mean, you're not taken with any temptation except the same thing I am. The Bible said you're not taken with any temptation except that which is common unto man. See, I married a wife, but you married a wife. I've got some children, you got some children. If you ain't got some, your neighbor has. So you know what I'm talking about. Now, I believe that we can do something for God, folks. And I'll tell you what, when we look in the face of the situation of today, and we know that the government's crumbling, and we know that everything's going down the drain, it's a time to get rid of an evil heart of unbelief. You know, some people treat the church like it's dirt. How many of you know that? But the church is the most priceless jewel there is in the earth. I don't believe some people even know what it means when you say the church. The church is the most glorious thing, without spot, spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. Something that was in the mind of God before the world ever was. The church is not something that should happen up. It's not something that God just thought up because the world was having a little problem. But the church is something glorious. Hallelujah. The Bible says the church is the inheritance of Christ. Just think how wonderful it really is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's inheritance. Christ himself, the Lord himself, is waiting to inherit the members of his body. He's waiting to see his wife. What a glorious thing the church is. Well, we ought to be so glad to rise up and be excited and have something to get excited over. I'll tell you what, if you meet this Jesus that I'm acquainted with, you'll get excited. Brother, you can't have the kind of life that you've got and be acquainted with this God that I'm acquainted with. There's something about this God that I know that causes you to get excited. The God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. I said to the Lord one time, I said, Father, the God that I want is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That same God that was back there that excites me, that wakes me up. I tell you what, wakes me up before daylight. I can hear him way before daylight. He'll say, George, get up and pray. The end of the world's coming. Pray. Pray for your people. Pray for the sick babies to be healed. Pray for the evils to stay away from little Bethlehem. Pray, son, pray so that I can bless your people, so I can take care of you. Don't sin against God by not praying, but pray and seek God. Jesus said men ought to always pray and to pray without ceasing, to ask God to help us. The church, what a wonderful thing the church is. Tonight we should be excited because we are the church. I'm the church tonight. Are you the church? Let me see your hand if you're the church. I'm the church tonight. I'm excited tonight. Somebody said, why come you so excited? Because my husband is God. Hallelujah. Amen. My husband, the one that I'm married to, is the Son of the living God. He's the prince of all the earth. Oh, don't you see that? Don't you see that? Hallelujah. Old Eliezer had to take a trip. Abraham said to his servants, "Go down yonder in the land of my kindred and get a bride for my son." Got down there and began to talk to her and said, "The son of Abraham. The son of Abraham." Who is Abraham? He's that great rich man. He's a great prince among his people. And said to this young lady, said, "His son is looking for a wife." She said, "I'll go. I'll go." Amen. You better believe I'll go. Amen. You don't have to pass out any jewels to me. I'm ready to go. Somebody said, "But it's a long journey." I don't care. I'll get there if I have to walk. Amen. I'm willing to go. I've heard about heaven and I want to go there. I've heard about that great rich man, his son's looking for a wife. If he'll consider one like me, I'm on my way. We sing that song, "I'm on my way, praise the Lord, I'm on my way." Hallelujah, I'm excited about it. I got a message from heaven, said he was looking for a wife. Amen, he said he's looking for a wife. Somebody said, "Well, he'll never take you." But I'll tell you what, there's one thing about it. Everybody don't get to be Miss America, but a whole lot of people get in the crowd. They make a try. I might not get to be it, but I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to be there. Who knows? Who knows what might happen? I'm going to be there. You love the Lord? The church is a wonderful thing, folks. It's something to get excited about. Don't you ever have a sad day. Don't you ever have a cast down day. When oppression comes and the devil comes to you and he begins to throw everything he's got at you, you just throw back your shoulders and say, "Listen to me. Hallelujah. I've got nothing to be sad about. I've got nothing to be sorrowful over. Oh, you listen to me now. I've got nothing to be wishy-washy about. I've got the Word of God and it told me what I'm going to do and who I am." Now, I think about this a lot of times. I've made mention of it. When old Brother Gideon, God sent him down there, and he was a great leader. Just down there, picking up the little bit here and there, kind of like Ruth was, you know. Just picking up what little he could over here. Sad and despondent. And I want to show you the difference between the way God thinks and the way man thinks. And Gideon just picking up what little he could here and there. And all of a sudden, here comes a bright, shining angel, the song said. And that angel dropped down out of heaven, and he stood over there. He might have lit up against a tree. Talks like he might have been near one, you know. And he was standing over there, and he kept watching, just standing. I want you to get a picture of this. He was just standing there looking. And here's Gideon probably mumbling and grumbling and complaining, you know, and picking up what little he could after the enemy had done coming and took everything. And there he was, thinking, I'm the lowest person in the world, born to a poor fella, ain't got nothing in life. Probably felt like committing suicide. And here's the angel of God. And here's the mind of God. And the angel of God was looking. This is what the Bible said. Said the angel of God finally, after watching him, said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. You see that? See, Gideon was looking at the defeat. Gideon was looking at the poverty. And Gideon was looking at the negative side of life, Jim. Looking at the negative side of life, all he could see was the defeat. He wasn't looking at the foreknowledge of God and the future that God had promised. He wasn't paying attention to what Moses had told him back there about being a great people. He had his mind in the negative side of life. But the angel of God had tuned in on heaven, and he knew that God was going to place a sword in Gideon's hand, and Gideon was going to become the chief of the army of God, and the whole land was going to tremble when Gideon walked through the land. He said, oh, thou mighty man of God. Old brother Gideon heard him. Probably thought he was some kind of stranger. The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers. Some has entertained angels unaware. And Gideon probably heard him and thought, what's the matter with this fellow over here? Talking about me being such a mighty man, I better go over and find out what's wrong with that fellow. So he went over, and he told him how poor he was and how that he belonged to the poor family, you know, down to the poor folks. You know, we live across the tracks. You understand what I'm of the poor folks. But that didn't faze that mind of positiveness at all. That man had a positive mind. That angel had a positive mind. Gideon said, woe is me and I'm poor. And the angel of God said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. It didn't faze him at all because he believed what God had said. God had sent him down there. And I've said this a lot of times, that God is looking on. The angels of the Lord are encamping round about us and watching us. And we complain, everybody complaining and finding fault with each other. And talking about being down here in sorrow. And the angels of God are watching you play around and said, oh, that little son of God, that little daughter of God. And no doubt many times Gabriel will say over here to Michael, or Michael to Gabriel, say, isn't that beautiful? Look at that little son of God down there. The prince of heaven and earth. Oh, you say, I don't believe that, but it's the truth, so help me God. Amen. When Jesus was born to this world, the angels of God got excited and come down out of heaven and went over to the shepherds on the hillside and said, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. They was having themselves a heavenly ball, as the world would say. That's right. They was excited over it. The Bible said just one soul coming to repentance, there's a jubilee in heaven over that thing. You understand what I'm saying, folks? See, the angel of God, they saw that child being born to the earth. And they made a fuss over him. They was excited over it. The angels got excited. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I could see how that would be. But now what about me? Well, what about me? I'm a son of God too. I'm born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He's excited over me too. Amen. Gabriel just excited over me as he is Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, I feel better believing, so I'm going to keep on believing. It makes me feel pretty good to know Gabriel's excited over me. Amen. Somebody said, well, you just offered the head. Well, that's all. I feel good about it. That's better than you are. At least I go through life happy and you go through life sad. I feel like Michael and Gabriel's excited over me. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then see, I see something outstanding. I see something taking place. You ought to be excited, folks. We got to be up and be about our Father's business. I'm going to stop here in just a few minutes, but I just want to drop a thought or two. Why is it that I can take the word of the law, and because the law said I can't steal, if I do, I'll go to jail, I abide by that. And the law said if I kill somebody, then I'm going to go to the penitentiary or to the electric chair, so I don't kill nobody because I believe that. You understand what I'm saying? I know the laws of God are not severe on the people that don't understand. Because the Bible said the man that did not know to do his Lord's will, if that man committed anything that was worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with few stripes. But it said if the man knows to do his Lord's will, the servant that is, and if he doesn't do his Lord's will, and if he commits things that are worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with many stripes. Is that right? Now, when God has told us something to do, when God has spoke from heaven, and God has told me and told you that we can't do certain things, and we have the knowledge of that law of God, and then we don't abide by it, folks, we're in trouble, because that's an evil heart of unbelief. If the law can tell me something and I believe it, why can't I believe what God has to say about it? Why can't I accept what God has to say about it? If God says something, I said this the other night, if God says something, that makes it right. A lot of times I just stop and think. I'll be reading something, and it'll be a glorious promise to me. Like the Bible said, God has given us all things that pertain unto life. And the Bible said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And the Bible said, if that man can believe in his heart and not doubt, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And I stop a lot of times, and I think, and I say, my God, that's God talking. You ever thought of it like that? Have you ever stopped and considered? I said, that's God. That's God. That wasn't the local sheriff that said that. That wasn't my wife. That wasn't my daddy. That wasn't something I thought of. I said, God. God who made heaven and made earth and made me and made all things therein. I said, that's God's word. God said that. Somebody said, well, why get so excited over that? Well, how in the world could you keep from being excited over it? When God has said that I can have anything my heart wishes for. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, bless God, you ain't got it. Well, I'd love for you to tell me what it is I ain't got that I want it. I said, I challenge you tonight to tell me what have I got, or what do I need, or what do I want that I haven't got. Everything my heart has desired, everything that I've wanted, everything I'm asking for, I can do anything I want to do. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I believe Him. I believe Him. That's the truth. I believe Him. I started serving God. I didn't ask Him for nothing. I just said, Lord, I'm satisfied. You've taken care of me. And the Lord would say to him, but son, ask me for something. I want you to ask me for something. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to ask God for nothing. You know why? Because you've got an evil heart of unbelief. You don't believe God would give it to you. That's why you don't ask Him. Somebody said, well, I'm sick and I've been sick 10 years. I guess so, because you never bothered to ask God to heal you. And if some of you did ask God, you probably said, well, Lord, do something for me. And 2 days later, say, well, I know He didn't hear me. So sad. You understand what I'm saying? But the Bible said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. I like the way Peter done it. Have you got just a few minutes more? I like the way Peter done it, Brother Jim. There was Jesus standing out here on the water. Now, the Lord don't ask us to do nothing unless He does it first. But there He was, standing out there on the water, the living Word of God standing on the water. There He was. And here was Peter in the boat. And the Word of God, now the same Word of God, the same to every generation, is speaking to you too now. The same Word spoke to all of those fishermen on the boat. But only one of them responded. Peter said, Lord, I want you to see this. See, Here's a whole boat full of people. A whole boat full. Me and you and all of us. A whole boat full of people. And here's the word of God that says something and all the rest of them don't get excited. They just look, you know. Now somebody say, you mean they wasn't excited? Oh, we're excited. We know God made heaven and earth, you know. We're excited about that. But now here it was. Nobody got excited, so to speak. And the Lord, Peter said, Lord. You see the difference? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, brother, Peter said, Lord, is that you? God, that ain't no spirit I'm looking at, is it? Jesus said, Peter, this is the real me. Peter said, here I come. Off the boat he went, going to God. He got so excited that his faith registered in heaven, he forgot all about the ocean and started walking on the water to meet God. You know, I don't know that this happened. Maybe it didn't. But it wouldn't surprise me a bit. Peter got out there on the water and some of them fellas back on the boat said, hey, Peter, you can't do that. You're walking on the water. You can't do that, Peter. And about the time he took time to listen, down he went. Now, I don't know that that happened. I'm not saying it happened. But I know that's the way people do, you know. You try to do a little something for God and they say, you can't do that. I started to build this building here, and the devil said, well, you can't do that, so I built four buildings. I decided we'd really make a believer out of him. How do you know the devil's a believer? God done so many things until the Bible said the devil himself believes and trembles. That's more than some of you do. All right, now, I like that, and I am going to close in just a few minutes now, but I like that. Here was Peter. Peter got excited, folks, and he'd done something for God. He established, somebody said, well, I think he just about drowned it. But before he did, he established a testimony that has never been equal since the foundation of the world. I know that he would have drowned it if God hadn't have picked him up. But before he did, he made such an effort, it was so outstanding to the world, until today Brother Pike marvels at it. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I would try it, but I'm afraid. Well, look what happened to Peter. But I'd rather do it that way and go down and leave a testimony than not try at all, hadn't you? I said, hadn't you? Now, I believe that we ought to do something for God. If God said it, see, I'm only saying one thing. The Bible said, mighty grew the word of God and it prevailed. It grew. People took hold of it. The word of God, mightily grew the word of God. When you say the word of God, that's what I like. The word of God, not the word of Brother Pike, not the word of a prophet, but the word of God mightily grew the word of God, and the word of God prevailed. Mightily grew that word. The word of God. The word of God. Let me say just a few things in closing now, and I want to leave this in your thoughts tonight. This is the word of God, that if any man decree a thing in his heart, it will come to pass. If you can ask in faith, nothing wavering, you can have whatever you ask. You understand what I'm saying? You can have anything, but have you ever tried, my friend? Somebody said, well, it just don't work that way for me. Have you ever tried? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I've been trying for years. You know what you've been trying to do for years? You've been trying to convince this old carnal mind that's enmity to God, this old mind of Satan that gets in your head up here. You've been trying to convince it for years, and you've never got anything out of it. If I kept going to a tree year after year and couldn't get nothing, I'd leave the thing alone or cut it down or do something with it. That's the way I feel about it. But you've never tried really praying and seeking God. You've never really tried to study the Bible and shaping your life with God. You've never tried to build a little faith in your heart whereby the Bible said we do these things that please God. We convince our heart, and then whatever we ask of him, he hears, and we get what we want. You've never tried to do that. But if one time, if you try to be sincere with God one time, try to swallow down that old lying tongue of yours, try to swallow down that old gossiping, backbiting tongue of yours, try to straighten up your crooked ways to make your path straight, the Bible said. Is that what the Bible said? It said, make straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside. Is that right? It said that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. How? By making straight paths for yourself. You know what that does? When you make straight paths for yourself, condemnation leaves and faith comes. And when faith comes, you begin to pray, and God begins to hear from heaven. He said, them that are called by my name, if they'll humble their hearts and pray, I'll hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. Is that right? Where are you tonight? What are you doing tonight? Now, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'd like to say a whole lot more tonight, but I know you're tired because I'm tired too. But folks, let me tell you something. You can have whatever you want. I've had what I wanted, and I'm going to have a whole lot more because there's a whole lot more things that I want. You say, what is it you want? I want to help humanity more than I've done. I want to help humanity more than I've done, and by the help of God, I'm going to help them more than I've ever done in my whole life. Now, I gave my people a challenge. I said, stay with me. Work with me. I said, we've got some hammering to do, some sawing to do, some nailing to do. Sometimes it's like old Noah. He had to saw a little bit, had to hammer a little bit. Somebody said, well, I don't think that's being spiritual. I'll tell you, it might not sound too spiritual, but when that rain started coming down out of heaven, you better be glad that Noah built himself a boat. That's right. It might not look too spiritual to them people out there. But when Noah got on that boat and the rain come, them people begin to think that Noah was pretty spiritual. He had done got a vision and he had done got a message. So I tell you what, folks, if that's what it takes, that's what I think we ought to do. Is that right? It don't matter to me. Whatever it takes, that's what we ought to do. And I asked my people to stay with me, and I challenged them. I gave them a challenge to stay with me. And I said, now when we finish that part, we'll do another part. Isn't that right? So then the first thing we did, we went and got a message. That's the first thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then after we got a message, we tried to build a house of God and a campground and a place to take care of God's people to where we could feed them the message. Is that right? And now that the message is going out, the people are coming. And the next thing to do is to be able to deliver the people when they come. I said the next thing we'll do is move on with God. Step by step to bring them into the desired haven of God's rest. I done been over there, folks. I done been over there. I done seen Canaan. I done been over there. Amen. That's the truth. I just come back down here to tell you about it and see if you want to go over with me. That's the truth. I done been over there. I just come back down here to see if I could get some folks to go there with me. You can go with me if you want to. We're well able to take the land. If you don't believe it, just come and go with me and I'll prove it to you. The grapes of Eshcol, oh, how they do shine. Somebody said, well, ain't there some giants over there? Somebody said, why, them giants are so big, we look like grasshoppers. Why, I feel we're so big in God that the giants look like grasshoppers. That's right. Amen. I feel that way about it. Why, them devils and demons look like grasshoppers to me. That's right. Somebody said, well, you ain't never met them. I've met a whole slew of them. That's right, I've met all kind. And I mean, they ain't playing either. They can do things that you never dreamed they can do. They can pull tricks on you. They can do things so terrorizing, things that no way for you to escape it. But when I met Jesus, I learned something, and that was that we have power over all the powers of the enemy. I'm intending to use mine. Have you believed God's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness? Translated us into the kingdom of light? That's right. Delivered us from the powers of darkness. He's not going to deliver us. He's already done it. He's already done it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I don't feel like it. That's because you haven't accepted it. Just because you in your unbelief haven't accepted it and used it, enjoyed it, that don't mean it isn't done. You understand what I'm saying? It's already done. All you've got to do is start enjoying it. How many are willing to start enjoying it? I'll tell you what, if you'll get excited with me, I'll show you what we can do. Somebody said, well, what if we don't get excited? I'll show you what I can do. Amen. That's right. If you want to get excited with me, I'll show you what we can do. But if you don't want to get excited, I'll show you what I can do in God. Because I intend to do something by the help of God. All right, I want you to stand with me. Somebody said, well, what bothers me, Brother Pike, is I feel like I can't. I feel like you can't either. I feel like you can't because you feel like you can't. Somebody else said, well, I believe I can. Well, I believe you can too. It's by faith that you stand. Folks, we can do it. We can do it. Not only can we do it, we've already done it. Somebody said, well, you can't build that campground, but we did. I said we did. I appreciate you that have helped us to do this. And I know it's been Jesus all the way. The song said we'll give the glory to Jesus. But I appreciate you helping me to hurl the gospel around the world through the many radio stations that we've been privileged to preach over. The gospel going out. Appreciate the translations. God's making way for him, using Mitch. Mitch, typical of the open door. God's using him, every nation, to become that open door to where the gospel can go right on out. God's using us. That's right. Somebody said, well, I wish God had used me. He would if you'd give him a half a chance. If you get rid of that old resentment, that old mind of reasoning, that old figuring it out, looking at everybody like they're a hypocrite, and begin to realize that there's sons and daughters in God's world that's not hypocrites. I said there's a few sons and daughters, I don't care what your cunning scheme in mind comes up with, there is some sons and daughters of God in the earth. That's right. Because you live in a riding a T model and a hip hop and a bit and a bump every down the road, that don't mean we do. We got some Cadillacs and some streamlined automobiles. Amen. We got some chariots that's got the best kind of cushion ride that you ever took in your life. That's right. This is not an up and a down with us, up and a down with us. It isn't like that. I remember Brother James Smith. I remember a statement he said not too long ago. He said, Brother Pike, he said, you know what? He said, there's one thing I like about the ministry God has given you. I said, what's that, Brother James? He said, it isn't up and down. He said, I've watched some of these other boys and said they go up like a jet, but it ain't long they come back down the same way. He said, but yours has been, said it's just took an evil thing and said stayed that way all the time. All the time. Jesus wasn't up and down, was he? Was he? I believe in the Lord. There's a steady incline. We're on that incline, steadily moving, going on toward glory. Folks, we can do it. I can't do it of myself. You can't do it of yourself. But through Christ, we can do it and we will do it. We have done it and we'll continue to do it through Christ. But it's going to take him. It's going to take Christ. It's going to take his strength. It's going to take his power. It's going to take us with a little perseverance toward him to be able to manifest that strength. Let the weak say I'm strong. If you're weak, for one time in your life, confess in your heart, not in your head, but in your heart by faith that I am strong. If you're sick, by his stripes you confess in your heart, I am healed. Don't go by that old feeling of yours. Somebody said it's just the feeling that I've got, Brother Pike. You just don't know what kind of feeling. Yes, I do. I know about that and some more too. I've done had that one and some more too. Somebody said, it's just this feeling. I've done had that one and a lot more besides. Said, if you just had this feeling that I have in my head, I done had that and a whole lot more. Somebody said, but you can't imagine how I feel through my body. I've had that and a whole lot more too. Amen. I'm not lying to you. Somebody said, you're just boasting, so help me God. I done had that and a whole lot more too. Amen. But you know what? In spite of all of that, I still got the victory. I still believe the same thing. God still heals and gives strength to them that are willing to believe. He can still overcome. Ooh, I like that, don't you? I believe God likes that too, because I feel him on the main line. I want us to sing that little chorus together, let go, and let God have his wonderful way, can't we? Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Can you sing it with me? Sing it with me. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. While we're singing, I want you tonight, it makes no difference what's wrong with you. I'm going to preach faith to you people. I promise you that I'd preach faith to you. I'm going to preach faith until faith comes up in your heart. Faith was here the other night. Brother Willie, faith was here the other night. I mean real, genuine God faith. Faith that could heal. Faith that can save. Faith that can raise the dead. I felt it here the other night. No make-believe, but real, genuine. And I want you tonight, no matter what's wrong with you, no matter what it is, no matter what's wrong with you, if you're sick, despondent, need encouragement, need freedom from demon spirits, whatever's wrong with you, Christ promised you an inheritance. And tonight, he said, all things are yours. All you got to do is believe. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I know that if I travailed and fasted and prayed and asked him for it, he'd give it to me. That's not Bible. He travailed, he fasted, he prayed. And they said, now what must we do to work the works of God? He said, it's all finished. He said, I'm the works of God. I'm your works. Hallelujah. Paul said, this thing not by works, lest any man should boast. He said, I'm your works. I want you to believe. He said, I'm the shepherd. I just want you to believe. I'll do the works. I'll find the pastor. You just follow me and do the grazing. You're the sheep of my pastor. You just do the believing. That's all I want you to do. If I tell you something, just say yea and amen. The Bible said all the promises of God are yea and amen. Is that right? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I believe that. If you really believe that, why is it you question it in your mind? Why is it you try to figure it out in your mind? When I tell it to you, why is it you don't just say, yeah, amen? Why is your heart don't just say, yeah, and amen? You understand what I'm saying? All the promises of God are yeah and amen. Ain't no question about it. You don't have to figure it out or send it over to some theologian, let him split hairs over it. It's yea and amen. It's settled in heaven, can't be altered. So then tonight, when we sing that little chorus, again, let go. I want you to let go. You know, people hold on to their believing. Did you know that? They hold on to their believing. They need to turn their believing over into the hands of God to let it get away from them, to let it get free. They hold to it. There's something that binds them up and keeps them from being free in God. And I want you to sing this with me. And I want you to relax in God, and I want you to let go tonight. Will you do that? Will you do that tonight? Will you let go tonight? Trust God for one time. Quit reasoning up here. Don't lean to your own understanding. All these many years you tried to figure it out, and you ain't figured it out yet, have you? Looks to me like after all these many years of trying to figure it out, and you haven't got it figured out, that for one time that you just trust God from your heart and say, well, I ain't figured it out no way, so I might as well give something else a chance. Let's don't figure tonight by leaning to our own understanding, but let's believe. If you're sick, let's get well. Let's get well.
If you're sick, let's get well. How can we do it? By believing. Let's sing it again, can we? Sing it with me now. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go now. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows, they'll all vanish, and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Sing it again. Oh, let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. All your sorrows will vanish, and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Don't you like that? Don't you like it? Can you sing it just one more time tonight? Let go. Are you letting go tonight? Are you really letting go tonight? Are you really letting go tonight? Let go and let God have His way. Let the Spirit of God have His way in your heart tonight. Let go tonight. Try to believe tonight. Make an effort tonight to turn your heart over to God. Trust Him one time. Let go tonight. Let go tonight and believe tonight. Let God have His way. Hallelujah. I feel faith right now. I feel somebody believing right now. Hallelujah. I feel God. Right now, I can feel the yoke breaking. I can feel faith. Hallelujah. 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 Just worship God for a few minutes. When you let go, when you believe, trust in God. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to lean to my understanding. Oh, God, I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust You, Jesus. I'm going to give You a chance to heal me, to help me, to make my way straight, Lord, to make everything right in my heart. I'm going to believe, Jesus, with all of my life. Hallelujah. All of my heart, Jesus, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. For one time in my life, Jesus, I'm going to let go. I'm going to let go tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you do it tonight? Can you do it? God will heal you tonight. I feel the presence of God here. I feel the presence of God here. I feel faith. I feel faith in God. Simple, childlike faith. You've got it tonight. If thou canst believe in thine heart, if thou canst believe, have you ever tried to believe in your heart? If thou canst believe in thine heart, you can say whatever you want to. Decree a thing in your heart, that is, believe it. Decree a thing, believe it. Take a shot at it, as the world would say. Decree it in your heart one time, believe it. Make a special effort to decree it in your heart. And say, Lord, You said it, God. Yea and amen. Yea and amen. You said it, God. I'm not going to wrestle with it anymore. Not going to try to figure it out anymore. But God, You said it, and I believe it. Hallelujah. No, your sorrows will vanish, and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let's sing this little chorus together. Give me a key, sister. They sang the little chorus, we'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. I can believe.
will overcome some. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? We'll walk the streets of gold. We'll walk the streets of gold. If in my heart I can believe, we'll walk the streets of gold someday. Do you believe it? Gonna shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand. Gonna shake my Savior's hand. Oh, if in my heart I can believe, I'll shake my Savior's hand someday. Sing it again. For we'll overcome. Oh, we'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, we'll overcome someday. Gonna walk them streets of gold. Gonna walk them streets of gold. Gonna walk them streets of gold someday. Yes, in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of gold. Can you sing it? For I'll overcome. Oh, I'll overcome. I'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll overcome someday. Isn't that wonderful? We really can overcome if we want to overcome. I'm thankful tonight for what I feel here and what I see coming up in your heart. I want to plant a seed in your heart, and I want to cultivate it, and I want to work it, because I want to see you do something for God. When people come in here with requests, I want those people to be healed, folks. When people come here that need healing, that want to believe and want to trust God and straighten up their crooked ways, I want them to go away whole, don't you? And if they'll believe and work with us, they will go away whole. They will. Just like the lady that went back and sent the testimony when the doctor said she was perfect. Let's sing another chorus or two just before we dismiss. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing with me? To help me with the trials I go through. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. For something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Can you sing it again? Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me.